Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for listening in tonight. My name is Linda Mooney, and this is Other Worlds of Romance, and I am delighted to have tonight as my guest author, Abigail Owen. Hi, Abigail. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, and this is going to be a very unique experience because you're not calling from home. You're calling from a hotel lobby, right?
I am. I had a last-minute work meeting come up that I had to fly to Phoenix for, and they managed to book me right up against this show. So I'm literally walking down the hallway to my room right now.
and getting ready to do the show very much live here. For those of you who don't know, Abigail is an award-winning author who was born in Greeley, Colorado. She was raised in Austin, Texas, which makes her a neighbor of mine. After 10 years in Northern California, she now resides in Austin with her husband and two adorable children who are the center of her universe. Now, Abigail grew up consuming books and exploring the world through her writing. A fourth-generation graduate of Texas A&M University, Giggum, she attempted to find a practical career related to her favorite pastime by earning a degree in English rhetoric, which is technical writing. However, she swiftly discovered that writing without imagination is not nearly as fun as writing with it. She has a website, blog, a Facebook, Twitter account, and Pinterest account, which you're more than welcome to check out at her website, which is abigailowen.com. And I was checking out your Pinterest, and you are a Princess Bride person.
I am. I'm a huge Princess Bride person.
You need my coffee cup. My coffee cup says, yes, it says hello. It's that hello button. It's that hello tag, but it says, hello, my name is Mentigo Montoya. You drank my coffee, prepare to die.
That's awesome. I love it.
And all. But anyway, if you'd like to talk to Abigail after she gets to, oh, she's going to be reading from, oh, here we go. She's going to be reading from Blue Violet, which is book one of her Savatura series. It's from Wild Rose Press. But I was checking, you also have book two out, which is Hyacinth, book three out, Crimson Dahlia, and you just released Black Orchid, which is book four. And all of these through Wild Rose Press. And what I found unique is that you had self-published these first, and then you went through an EPUB, which is kind of different, which is a kind of a different approach and all from what a lot of people are doing. They're just doing the opposite. But if you want to talk to Abigail, the please do call in. The number is 646-727-2932. Or if you're sitting on the website, or I have the chat room open, if you're sitting there and you'd like to send a question, you can email me, linda@lindamooney.com. And this series has, it has shape-shifting werewolves in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all, and it, and anything else you want to kind of give us an idea of what it is?
Sure, sure. So, this series has just about any kind of magical creature you can think of. The way I describe it to friends of mine who don't usually read the genre is that it's X-Men fall in love is kind of how I describe it. It's people with multiple different kinds of supernatural powers. So you've got shapeshifters, telepaths, empaths, healers, fire starters, you name it, they're in there. Powers are genetically inherited from parent to child. The child has a different version on it than the parent does, has a different take on it. So you never know quite what you're going to get.
Now, and I noticed also, now, you've got four books out. How many books are you going, or were you planning on taking this series to?
This series probably will end with the four books, although I've been thinking about doing some prequels possibly, or maybe following up with some of the secondary characters. But if I do that, most likely it'll be more in short story form. So this series is the four books. I've got another series called the Shadowcat Nation series, which is Mountain Lion Shifters. That's another four-book series.
I saw that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with
Wild
the paranormal.
Press?
It is. Yep, I've got two books out in that series right now. The third one is in their hands and will probably come out early 2016 sometime. And then the fourth one I'm in the process of writing right now on that series. So, yep.
Ooh, you are busy.
The voices in my head just won't stop talking.
Oh, my goodness. Well, keep listening to them and taking notes because this stuff looks good. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you. And
all right.
You can give us an idea what Blue Violet, which is book one of the Svatura series, is about.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of give us an idea where you're going to be starting your excerpt from. So take it away, Abigail.
All right. So Blue Violet, as Linda said, is the first book of the Svatura series. I'm going to read the blurb real quick just to give you an idea of what it's about. When fairy tales turn into nightmares. Ellie Aubrey has spent most of her unnaturally long life hiding her extraordinary abilities from the world. On the run from shape-shifting wolves who murdered her family, she risks discovery in order to secretly watch over another group of similarly gifted people, determined they won't suffer the same fate. Alex Jenner has come home to protect his family from an unknown danger lurking in the woods. Suspicious of the new girl in town, he challenges Ellie in ways that will spark one of two possible outcomes. They'll spontaneously confess, or she'll lose control of the one power she's fought so hard to contain. In this fairy tale, the dragon the prince must slay is also the princess who holds his heart.
I love that line. I love that line.
Thank you so much. You know, I had a lot of fun with it. Ellie is actually a gypsy princess. It's not something that I concentrate on hugely in the book, but I enjoyed playing on that theme for the blurb.
Okay. So where are you going to start on the excerpt?
So for the excerpt, the excerpt that I'm reading is basically the scene that sparked the entire book. So when I write a book, I tend to pick one character, and I think of them in one individual scene, and I build my entire book around that scene. And the scene was one where there's a falcon shifter sitting on top of the trees watching over some people in a clearing. They're friends of hers. Who are in danger, but they don't know they're in danger, and they don't know she's a falcon shifter or that she's watching over them at all. They think that she's just human and just a friend.
So that's what the cover is.
That's what the cover is, exactly. With her as a falcon shifter, yep.
Cool.
That's the scene that started the whole thing. I had to figure out why she was there, why she was protecting them, you know, how she got there, and... the scene that I'm about to read is the danger's coming for them in the woods, and she's had to reveal who she is to them just to protect them.
Okay.
So she's seen the shape-shifting wolves headed their way, basically, and flown down from her perch in the trees and told them to run. So they're running, and she's getting ready to fight.
All right,
here we go. Ellie turned her attention to the woods as the other three took off at a sprint in the opposite direction. She hoped she could buy them enough time, and she had to wait for them to be farther away before she took the next step in her plan. She didn't want to frighten them more than they already were, and she definitely did not want them to turn around to try to help her. When she was sure they couldn't hear her, she screamed, "Griffin, I need you!" Her cries were mental and audible. She prayed her brother would get her to her in time. Distance caused problems with their link. Ellie prepared to face her worst fears. She had to wait only a few minutes before she heard the wolves approaching. They'd heard both her falcon's cry and her scream for Griffin. They were no longer attempting to move with any stealth. Without access to Griffin's other power, his physical force field, which was his best weapon in a fight, Ellie ran quickly through her options. She had to keep the Vayushar occupied long enough to give her her three friends time to get to the house. She had to actually fight the wolves to do that. Without hesitation, her body shimmered and quivered, soundlessly shifting. In an instant, a massive ebony jaguar, sleek as the night, stood where a moment before had been a woman. Ellie tried to form a plan. As a jaguar, she had the advantage of size, strength, and weight over the wolves. She was outnumbered, however, which put her at a distinct disadvantage. She was going to need to use her brain and possibly her other powers. Knowing that the wolves were unaware they'd be attacking a jaguar rather than unsuspecting Statura teenagers, Ellie decided to use the element of surprise to her advantage. She bounded high into a tree, her sharp claws digging in and holding her secure, her black coat camouflaging her in the dark, the sinewy body tensed, ready to pounce at a second's notice. If she could take down at least one of the wolves immediately, it would give her one less to fight. Maybe it would also give her enemies pause, anything to buy time. The attack came in a rush. An instinct kicked in for Ellie. Three of the six wolves burst into view in the clearing where she and her friends had just been moments before. Ellie's body gathered to spring. As the first wolf neared her position, she leapt into the air, landing on the large animal's back. Digging in her claws, she used her powerful jaws to snap his neck with one sharp jerk. One down, she thought, as she jumped off the wolf mid-tumble. She immediately charged the next closest wolf, which stood stunned and frozen with shock. Having personally witnessed the Vayushar wolf pack's attack techniques once before, when they decimated her own tribe, she knew if she waited too long, all of the remaining wolves would arrive, circle her, and overwhelm her. She didn't intend to give them enough time to coordinate. Ellie slammed her huge paw, claws unsheathed, across the second wolf's face, likely breaking a good number of bones with the force of the blow. The wolf howled in agony, but still managed to rally for a counterattack. He lunged at her, teeth bared. Ellie defensively stood up on her hind legs, but the wolf's momentum toppled her backward. He landed on top of her, his huge paws on his shoulders. He went for the easy kill at the jugular, but Ellie was faster, getting her back paws under his belly and pushing with all her animalistic brute strength. The wolf went flying through the air, crashing into a tree with a pained yelp before dropping to the ground. She didn't wait to see if he had been knocked unconscious or just dazed. She knew one more wolf was in the clearing and two more were out there somewhere, hopefully distracted by the fight rather than following the scent of her fleeing friends. She was just turning to locate the third wolf when she felt a searing pain in her hind leg. Letting out an anguished scream, she rounded on her attacker, trying her best to block out the lancing agony that ripped through her. He was close enough for her to surprise him. She lunged under his massive head and locked her strong jaws on his neck. She didn't get the angle quite right, though, and only had a hunk of skin and fur between her teeth. Even so, she bit down and pulled back, ripping the wolf's hide in the process, only a flesh wound, but it gave her a chance to get out from under him and put a little distance between them. She backed away from the wolf, trying hard not to limp from her injuries. She heard another growl just behind her, and with the excruciating throbbing in her hindquarters, she knew she wouldn't be able to defend against two fit wolves. Instinctively, Ellie jumped into the air and morphed into the falcon. She soared away, managing to just evade the wolf's snapping jaws. She thanked the powers that be that it was her back leg that had been injured and not her arms, which were now giving her the gift of escape. Ellie swiftly flew to a height above the tree line so she could locate all the wolves. Unfortunately, she'd only stunned the wolf she'd thrown against the tree. Four of the wolves were still in or around the clearing where they'd just faced off. One, however, had not paused for the fight, continuing to track his intended prey. She hastily searched the ground for Nate, Adelaide, and Lila. They were close to the house, but not quite near enough to attract the attention of the occupants inside. Ellie gained as much height as she could and then moved into a stoop, increasing speed as she descended toward the lone wolf. Flaring her wings at the last minute, she shifted back into her jaguar and crashed into the animal with all the force of her combined weight and speed. She had the satisfaction of hearing the beast yelp in pain as both Ellie and the wolf rolled, finally coming to a stop at the edge of the field behind the house, the same field where Alex had seen her only the night before. Using her keen jaguar hearing, she could tell that her three friends still needed more time to get to the house. They were just far enough away that they wouldn't be able to outrun the wolves in time. Pushing to her feet, she faced the wolf and crouched into a defensive position. With her ears laid flat back and her teeth bared, the wolf snarled in response, slowly stalking toward her, his ears pinned, hair raised on his broad back. As she carefully maneuvered into the tall grass, keeping the wolf in her sight at all times, the other wolves emerged from the darkness, eyes gleaming, one of them limping. Ellie kept her body between the wolves and their intended prey. She backed up, doing her best not to visibly hobble so as not to show any sign of weakness. The wolves would coordinate and attack as a pack now. She knew what was coming. It was just a matter of how long. She'd fared better than she'd expected so far, but much of that had been luck and the element of surprise. She had a sinking feeling that both of those things were no longer in her favor. The worst was coming any second.
Mm.
And that's the excerpt.
Oh, man. Oh, can you give us a little bit more? I mean, it's good. That's good. That's good. Well, now, who is this Alex Jenner? That, I mean, he's
so
obviously going to be the hero.
He is. He is the hero. He's probably one of my favorite heroes that I wrote. He is, in this particular scene, he is inside the house, completely unaware that she is A, in danger, or B, a wolf, jaguar, falcon, shifter at all. And so he's about to go save her as soon as the other three let him know that everything's going down. But he's got his own story. So the Spatura, which is what Ellie and Alex are both, the Spatura, they live as long as 2,000 years. They're relatively young. They're still only about 150 or so, 160 years old. And so the family that he lives with now, it's not his family that he grew up with. He's lost his family. She's lost all her family. And they're kind of coming together as a new family with this group.
So Spatura is the, what, the name of the tribe or the name of their, what they are?
Kind of the
or
name of what they are. It's what they are. It's anybody with supernatural powers. It's funny because when I first wrote the story, I didn't give them a name. I just called them people with supernatural powers, and my editor was like, you can't keep calling them people with supernatural powers. They need a name. Spatura is a gypsy term. That basically essentially comes down to meaning family or a group of loved ones, or it also means people with powers. It's a gypsy term about kind of a folklore with powers. And so
oh my goodness.
I came up with that. And then the Vayushar, which I also mentioned, that's another gypsy term, or it's a Roma term really, and that means wolf. And so they're unusual in that all of them are wolf shifters, and that's very rare to have all of the same type of power in one tribe.
We have a email from Park 67, and Park says, my question is, the heroine isn't restricted to one shape?
No,
I think you answered that.
Well, she's rare, so she's descended from, like I said, the powers are inherited, and so usually most people only have one shape, wolf or a duck or whatever. She's very rare in a couple of ways. One is that she's descended from a long line of Spatura who have passed on multiple powers to her, one of them being the falcon. But she has another power, also inherited, that allows her to control anybody's powers if she's physically touching them. And she's learned that if she touches a shapeshifter, she gets that shift from them for some unknown reason. And so she managed to touch a jaguar and touch a wolf.
And she keeps it permanently.
And it's added to her shift. She does. She keeps it permanently. Her brother is her twin brother, and they share powers. His powers are telepathy and then an invisible shield. She can access the telepathy. He can access her falcon shift, but only if they're within a certain kind of number of miles from each other.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, does he get his own book?
He does. He's the hero in Hyacinth.
Which
is the second book. Yep, so he's the next one.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that each book deals with a different couple. It's just all in the same world.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a hard time reading a series about the same couple being torn apart and then put back together over and over again. And so I like it if there's a happily ever after for each individual book as you continue kind of the overarching themes of the series through the series. So each book has a different couple.
Oh, okay. But they're all interconnected at some point.
They are. And you get to know all of them in the first book. And so you kind of get connected to them and then get to read each one's books.
So, will Ellie and Alex appear in other books, like maybe secondary characters or something? Oh, cool.
Secondary characters and still very central to the plot. While each couple gets their own highlight, I still keep all of the characters that you know and love from the other books in there. So,
just keep it one big happy family. Now, this I've got to ask a really strange question here. I was looking at your titles. Like I said, you started out with Blue Violet, then Hyacinth, Crimson Dahlia, and Black Orchid. Of course, obviously, they're all a color and a flower, but how does that relate back into, you know, the shape-shifting stories? I mean, how do you relate the titles with the story?
Sure. So I chose the titles because in the Victorian era, flowers had meaning. Mm-hmm. So if you gave a woman flowers, you were actually telling her things with those flowers. And so I picked flowers that their meanings related to the book somehow. And you're going to laugh at me, but I'm blanking on what Blue Violet meant. I remember Hyacinth means dedicated to Apollo, and I reference Griffin as he's very golden. He has golden eyes, golden hair. And Ellie, his twin sister, is very dark. She's got dark black hair and kind of violet blue eyes, and her mother used to call them Artemis and Apollo, the twins. So that's where the Hyacinth comes in. So I picked meanings of flowers that made sense for each book.
Yeah, it really does. And now I'm gonna kind of go off the grid here a little bit and ask you about your Shadow Cat series. Those are shapeshifters too. And you currently have two books out, and all, and you have a third one on the way.
Mhm. Yep, I've got.
You
want
to tell us about
those? Sure, absolutely. Andromeda's Fall is the first book in that series. It came out about a year ago with Wild Rose Press, and then Sarai's Fortune was the next book that came out in May. Andromeda's Fall, just this summer, won first place for Best Dark Paranormal Romance with one of my RWA chapters, the Fantasy, Futuristic, and Paranormal chapter for RWA, Romance Writers of America. So I was super, super proud of that and just really excited to even be in the category. And let's see. And then Tyrion's Fury is the third book. It's finished. It's edited. It's just we're still finalizing the last tweaks and stuff on the edits, and then it'll go into the queue. And most likely, I'm guessing it's going to come out February-ish time frame, but I don't have actual dates on that yet.
And then you got Hannah's Fate, which is a prequel, and then your book four that you're working on currently is Seneca's Faith.
Seneca's Faith, yep. Hannah's Fate, that was fun. It was it's a prequel short story. I wrote it. It's in an anthology called Here Kitty Kitty that I did with several author friends of mine, and each of us did a different large cat shifter. So it's all large cat shifter stories. And what's fun about it is that all proceeds from that go to benefit the Big Cat Rescue Foundation in Indiana. So it kind of themed it that way. But it was one of those things where I had a story for Mountain Lion Shifters in my head for a long time, but I was still in the middle of writing this Vatera series. And so knew the story in my head was going to be Andromeda's Fall, but I thought, for this short story anthology, I'll do a little prequel. And so that's Hannah's Fate to introduce some of the characters.
Oh, that's neat. Now, see, and just kind of adding here, too, that you don't write just the paranormal, you've also got some contemporary stuff.
I do. The contemporaries aren't out yet. Yeah, I do. I read all sorts of romance. I might even try my hand at historical someday if I can get past the fear of all the research that involves. So the contemporaries, they're not out yet, and I just signed with an agent this past month, actually, and so she is working on...
Well, congratulations!
Thank you. I was so excited. That was a big, item on my wish list that I can now be like, yes, I got that. And so she's working on that with me for it's a Texas sheriff-themed contemporary.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, okay, so you've got the contemporary going, and you've pretty much, so to speak, finished the Satura series, and you're almost done with the Shadow Cat. Where do you see yourself going afterwards? What's in that head of yours?
A lot, unfortunately. Well, not unfortunately. It's you know, it's funny, after each book I have a really hard time deciding what project to work on next, and some of it's decided by, like, the contemporary that my agent has right now is meant to be a series, but I probably won't start on the second book until we have that rolling somewhere.
Right.
So that one's kind of on hold at the moment. So that's, you know, from a business standpoint, that tells me I can put that one on hold. But there's a couple places I could go. There's a potential spinoff series from the Shadowcat Nation that would be, I'm calling it, temporarily calling it the Tempest series, that would be the Four Winds, north, south, east, and west winds. So we'll see if I jump right into that one or if I hold off a little bit. And then I've got some ideas in my head, one for a really ditzy contemporary romance that's based on quite a few of the stupider things I've done in my life that make me giggle when I tell the stories. So I think if I put them all together, they make a pretty funny heroine.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, we have a question here from Darla B. Will you be doing any book signings?
Book signings. I've got one coming up in April, actually. It's funny because I do so many things virtually. Book signings haven't really hit my radar yet. But in April, I'll be at the RT convention in Las Vegas. I am doing one of the workshops while we're there, and then I'll be doing the big book signing there.
Oh, well, what are you going to be doing? What workshop?
And the workshop is on, it's called Getting Your Writing Life Organized. So one of my favorite little side hobbies is organization. And I saw
that on your Pinterest.
Yeah, I love it.
check her Pinterest page out. It's got organization from top to bottom, from room to kids to everything. I mean, she's got it. I was going to say, man, you probably make me look like a slob.
You know, it's funny because I'm not naturally neat. I just like to organize things. So it's kind of an odd combination there. And so this is on, you know, just keeping track of all of the things you have to do as an author, and notes mostly wise. So, yep.
Yeah, especially if you're doing a series and you have to keep track of, okay, if you commented that this person looked like this, you got to make sure that later on when you mention it again, that you keep it consistent. Because readers will catch it real quick if you've got brown hair in one scene and blonde in another.
Well, I'll tell you what's funny is that before I wrote a series, I used to get really mad at George Lucas with Star Wars and be like, why did they get these details wrong with Star Wars? And then now I'm like, George, I apologize, George. You're keeping track of so many things in your head that the little details will fall through the cracks. And as a reader, you read through it so quickly that it all stays in your head, whereas as a writer, you're writing it over such a long period of time. You know, what color her truck was might change from blue to green without catching it.
Definitely. And I've even read books where they've changed the name of the hero.
Yep.
And it's like,
you can tell when the author changed their name, changed their mind, you know, oh, it's not Alex, it's, you know, Jason.
Yeah. Or something close. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a Mark and a Mike. But I think what it was is that it's not so much that, it's like, there's certain words like Richard and Robert. I get my brain gets screwed around with those two. So sometimes I'll call a child Robert and then it's name's Richard and vice versa. So if you've got something that close that you're working on, that you may, you may just. Well, Abigail, thank you again so much for coming on the show, and I'm so glad you had a safe trip to your hotel and everything, and you managed to get on the air. People, it's called Blue Violet. It's the Savatura series from Wild Rose Press. Check out also Hyacinth, Crimson Dahlia, and Black Orchid. And while you're there, check out the Shadow Cat series, too, with the shape-shifting cougar mountain lions. How did you refer to them? As cougars?
Cougar mountain lion is actually an interchangeable term. So,
just check it out. And, Abigail, I'd love to have you back on the show when you're third one comes out back in later on in 2016, come back and give us a taste of the Shadow Cat series. Why don't you do that?
I would love to come back. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you having me on tonight. I had so much fun.
It was a pleasure having you, because your stuff, it's very unique, because normally 99.9% when you have a shapeshifter, it's one shape. It's one animal or whatever. And yours are like, okay, what am I going to be today? It's like,
yep,
changing dresses. I think I'll be a falcon today. No, I think I'll be a jaguar. No, I'm in the mood for being a wolf. And I'm just kind of making fun there, but it's like, wow, she has all these different shapes she can be. So it's even more interesting to see what she picks and why and how that reacts, how the people react to that. So that
Thanks.
Makes
I
it
have
very
a lot of fun
unique.
Writing that.
And all. So Bye. Anyway, take care. Have a good day. Have a good week and with your job and everything. And I look forward to talking to you again. All righty.
So me too. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance. Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you again. Take care. Have a great week. Stay warm. Bye. And we're done.
Yay. That was fun. You're
it
right.
Was
that flew
fun.
By.
And I'm sitting here going, okay, jaguar. Wait a minute. Didn't she say wolf? Wait, what? Falcon. Whoa. I'm trying to keep up here, and I'm going, this is great. She can kind of. Oh.
Not to completely spoil it, but at the end there's a big one that she turns into.
Even more interesting. And then when you said if she touches someone long enough or whatever, she can assume that power. And I'm going, yes,
mm-hmm.
I love it. So
thank you so much.
Abigail.
It was so fun to write. No, I really appreciate that. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. And I look forward to us getting together again. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I will definitely give you a buzz when we get that when I get a release date for the next one.
Excellent. All right. We'll talk to you again later. You take care and stay safe and have a safe trip home. All right?
Thanks, Linda. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Abigail. Good night.
Night.